I would like to speak about the words of Jesus to the disciple Peter after his resurrection, which were, "Do you love me?" The Lord had forgiven Peter after he sincerely repented, but the lesson followed. We know that Jesus was not being harsh with Peter, because when an angel appeared to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, on resurrection morning, he told them to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus would meet them in Galilee. This morning, Jesus is asking us the same question, that is, do you love me? Do you love me more than family? Do you love me more than your possessions? Do you love me more than your distractions? Do you love me enough to be seriously committed to me? Do you love me enough to put me first in your life? Do you love me enough to be consecrated to me? Consecrated, defined as to be dedicated to the Lord and to serving him. Do you love me enough to want to be like me and imitate me in your life? Do you love me enough to want to be filled and refilled with my Spirit? Last week we spoke about the faithfulness of the Lord in our lives. And as we said before, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 states, "Great is your faithfulness." The Lord may be asking us this morning, will you be lovingly faithful to me as I have been to you? Let's read about Jesus' conversation with Peter. Just a few short verses in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verses 15 to 17. John 21 and verses 15 to 17. I'll give you a few moments to get there. John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 17, we know this is after Peter had denied the Lord and repented about it. So now Jesus has a conversation, a question for Peter. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again, second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him on the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." When the Lord addressed Peter, he referred to him as Simon, son of John. In this discussion, Jesus may have been trying to tell Peter not to esteem himself to be better than the other disciples. Let's refer back a little bit, a couple of events before this. I'll read to you a few verses. First one, Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said unto them, "All you shall be offended because of me this night." But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will I not." Matthew 26, 33. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended." Luke 22, 33. And he, Peter, said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death." In other words, they may be offended, but not me. Peter didn't know himself, because a little while later, a few hours later, he denied the Lord three times. In John chapter 21, the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these other disciples?" In this question, The word that Jesus used for love was, in the Greek, is agapeo, and is defined as an ardent, supreme love. Peter answered, "Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, when Peter answered, the word that Peter used for love was, in the Greek, phileo, that is defined as to be fond of, to feel friendship with one another. He didn't use the word to mean agapeo, which meant ardent, supreme, perfect love. Peter was brought down in his pride. There was no more boasting in Peter's answer. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Lambs refer to young converts who need special attention. Jesus would and did entrust young converts to Peter. In this conversation, Jesus was restoring Peter's spiritual condition. Jesus didn't cast him aside to say, "You denied me, now I don't want anything to do with you." He restored him. God is a God of restoration. And thank God that he is a God of restoration. Otherwise, where would any of us be? In his second question to Peter, Jesus uses the word referring to the ardent, supreme love. In his second response, Peter uses the word meaning to be fond of, to feel friendship. After Peter's second response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Sheep refers to mature believers. Jesus didn't trust mature believers to Peter. And this becomes obvious in the letters written by Peter. We have 1 and 2 Peter towards the end of the New Testament. Jesus asked Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" This time, Jesus used the word phileo. Jesus was driving home the lesson to Peter of not boasting, not thinking that he loved the Lord more than others, or feeling that he was better than others. Peter had denied the Lord three times, and Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" We cannot boast about any of our accomplishments in the secular world or even in the spiritual realm. In whatever way the Lord chooses to use us, the ability is from him. We cannot become proud. Any ability that we have in any area of our lives, even in the secular realm, is from the Lord. All is from God. We cannot be proud. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 to 31 tells us that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, "He that glories, let him glory in the Lord." All our abilities, whatever good we have, comes from God. We know that Peter did love Jesus, and at the time of his death, which was believed to be by crucifixion, he requested to be crucified head down. He didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. Do you love me? That question that Jesus asked Peter. The question to us this morning is, do you love me, and how much do you love me? How deep, how sincere is our love for the Lord this morning? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And why not? Consider the way he loves us, infinite love. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 tells us, "And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." How much do we love the Lord? Do we love him with an agapeo love or a phileo love? Again, the agapeo love meaning ardent, supreme, perfect love. Do we love him more than family? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Do we love the Lord more than our possessions? God gave us, he blessed us with all that we have, all that we own. But we cannot put any of our possessions, our homes, before him. Do we love Jesus enough to put him first in our lives? One of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, "Little children, guard yourself from idols." Is Jesus our top priority this morning, or do we have an idol? Do you love the Lord enough to be genuinely committed to him? We've had many messages on commitment to the Lord. Jesus was committed to coming to earth and suffering and dying a brutal death for our salvation. If he could be committed to us, considering our sinful nature, we certainly should be committed to him. How committed are we to the Lord? Do we give a priority to our commitment to the Lord? At what level is the strength and the bond of our love, the love of our commitment to him? How much importance and effort do we give to keeping and strengthening that commitment to the Lord? No, we gave our lives to the Lord in the past, but we have to renew that commitment, make it stronger. Do you love Jesus more than your distractions? Do I or we prioritize time with Jesus, or do we prioritize our distractions? What could be a distraction? Important topic. Time for some type of enjoyment and pleasure when we should be giving time to the Lord. Time for a hobby when we should be spending time with the Lord. Sports could be a distraction if it takes away from the time given to God. Now let me explain something here. None of these activities I mentioned are bad, but they can't come before God. They cannot become a distraction from the Lord or time that we should be giving to him. Anthony is very gifted in football. I never was good in football, so I have to admire that. So I'm not against these things, but we should not put things before time that should be given to God. How about criticisms and judgments could be a distraction? We could be watching someone's walk with the Lord and making judgments about it and not giving due diligence to our own walk with him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us, "Work out your own salvation." Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus spoke about the cares of this world. The cares of this world can become a distraction. Do we love the Lord more than our jobs? We sing to him, "Have you any room for Jesus?" Do we love Jesus more than our distractions? Do we love the Lord enough to not be a lukewarm Christian? This is an important one. Remember the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3? Jesus said that the church of the Laodiceans was lukewarm. They had a superficial faith. Have we been serving Jesus the way we should be serving him? Or do our priorities need to be adjusted? This church was caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about. Have the cares of this world choked out the time and effort that we should be giving to the Lord? Do we love Jesus enough so that we place our priorities, our love on our service to him, rather than having a lukewarm Christianity with a superficial faith? Do we love Jesus to the point that we will always want to spend time with him and wanting more of him in our lives? Because, you know, once you begin to know Jesus and you really get to know him, you can't help but want more. When a couple is dating and are serious about their relationship and really falling in love, they want to spend more and more time with each other. It's a beautiful thing. Do we love the Lord so much that we always want to be with him and spend even more time with him? There's so much he could offer us. Do we actively and with all our hearts seek more and more of him into our lives? How much we need him. Do we love Jesus to the point that we are always hungry and thirsty for more of him? If Jesus loves us so much that he misses spending time with us when we don't spend time with him, what should be our reaction to him? Do we love him enough that we want to become like him and want to be filled and refilled with him? I read the message a while back, Jesus Rose of Sharon bloomed within my heart. And in the song, Jesus Rose of Sharon, one of the last lines is, bloom and radiance within my heart. We want to be so filled with Jesus that he is a radiant blossom. He just, when we're around people, people don't see us. We don't want them to see us. We all have our faults. We want them to see Jesus. That's what our lives should be, that they see Jesus and are attracted to him and not us. Do we love Jesus so much that we want to imitate him and want to have his qualities, his characteristics in our lives? Do we love him so much, here's a good one, that we are addicted to him? What? You get to know Jesus, I mean, like, keep seeking more and more knowledge of him, you're going to get addicted to him. He is an addiction, and the best one you ever had. You know, what happens with an addiction once you try to stop this withdrawal? Well, we want to be addicted to Jesus, because how bad could the withdrawal be? You want more of him? The best thing that could ever happen to you. Jesus is an addiction. And I pray that he becomes an addiction, if he isn't already, in each one of your lives. Addicted to Jesus. Wow. Do we love him to the point of having the passionate desire, as we said before, Jesus Rose of Sharon bloom within my heart? Do we love the Lord to the point of giving him the best of everything in our lives? Think of how Mary of Bethany gave her best to Jesus. She anointed him with costly, pure spikenard. We want to give Jesus the best, the strongest commitment we ever could, that we ever could make to him, making him our top priority in our lives, giving him the best of our abilities, giving him the best of our lives. The way Mary gave him the pure spikenard, we want to give our pure love, our pure devotion, our pure commitment to Jesus. We want to anoint him with the best of our love. This morning, can we hear Jesus asking, do you love me just because of who I am and all that I am in our lives? You know, we want to love Jesus not just for what he could do for us, just because of who he is. He is the only one who willingly suffered and died for our eternal salvation from hell when he didn't have to. Always remember, Jesus could have come down from the cross. He did not have to stay there. He could have come down from the cross. He stood there for us. His love for us is beyond measure and beyond comprehension. You can't measure God's love for us. If we try to describe who Jesus is and his impact in our lives, all our words would be insufficient. They would fall short. He is truly beyond any word in any dictionary, in any language. No language, no dictionary could define who Jesus is. He remains undefined. That's how awesome he is. He remains undefined and indescribable. This morning, Jesus is asking us, do you love me, and how much do you love me? Will you be faithful to me as I have been faithful to you? So I'll leave you with that.